transcribed.
From Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hedda Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood from the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. And here she is, Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. Look over my shoulder while I write my column. We have news about famous people here in Hollywood and elsewhere. We'll have personal visits with Eric Johnson, Carmen Miranda, Howard Duff, Keith Purcell, and Ida Lupino. Okay, let's go. In case you care, and frankly, I don't, Mickey Rooney and his third wife are divorcing. Elizabeth Taylor, the beautiful bride who's got everything, has gone home to Mama. Mary McDonald returns from the Mayo Clinic tomorrow. No operation necessary. Mary Martin leaves the play South Pacific June 1st. Then she returns to the screen with either Bing Crosby or Marie Chevalier. But she'll have 6 weeks rest before that on a slow boat to South America. Elliot Roosevelt cannot marry Minnie Bell until after she gets a divorce. She's worth millions. Her father owned all of Bel Air. I asked Jean Peters when she'd get married, and she replied, "First, I've got to find a real man. Then, I've got to be able to afford him." I'll bet you a cookie that Stuart Granger and Jean Simmons will elope before Christmas. She flew back from London yesterday. It's ironic, but true. The most wined and dined man in America this week was the official spokesman for the Chinese Connies. Yet, due to war conditions, Vice President Barclay canceled his annual dinner for Harry Truman. Look for the new Congress to demand a full-scale investigation of where our defense money went, why we went into Korea when we couldn't win, and who made the key decisions that went so sour. Young Claude Jarman, Jr. has been cleared in the tragic death of a Nashville, Tennessee schoolteacher. Eric Johnson, president of the Motion Picture Producers Association, was in town recently, and we had a visit in the enormous conference room where 10 minutes before all our producers sat around a long table. Eric, are you in there?
Yes, Eric, come on in.
Well, for heaven's sake, aren't you lonely in this big room?
No, I'm glad to be alone with you, however, on an excellent program.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I haven't seen you since last April in Washington, D.C. Why don't you come out here more often?
Well, you know, Hedda, I've turned into a globetrotter. In the last 12 months, I've been 125,000 miles. That's 5 times around the globe.
But we need you at home. Why travel around the world?
Well, don't you realize, Hedda, that we show pictures in every country in the world outside of the Soviet Union, and 38% of the entire revenue of this industry comes from outside the United States.
But I thought our money was frozen over there, at least most of our money.
Well, a lot of it is frozen, but we work it out. For instance, we're building ships in Scandinavian countries and selling them to the United Fruit in America for dollars. We're printing Bibles in Finland for frozen Finmarks and selling them in America for dollars. We're making rayon in Italy with frozen lira and selling it in America for dollars, etc.
Ah, then international cooperation is really paying off in the motion picture industry.
Well, we think it is. We think it's really paying off in a big way. And you know, the people all over the world love American pictures.
What about our pictures behind the Iron Curtain? For instance, take Grapes of Wrath.
Well, let me give you this picture of that. Not long ago, it was shown in one of the Iron Curtain countries, labeled The Paradise Called America. Now, you remember the story of the Grapes of Wrath, how the Okies and Arkies were driven out of the dust bowls of Oklahoma and Arkansas and came to California and finally were put in these camps because there was no housing for them here. And you remember the last scene of that?
I certainly do.
It was a pouring down rain, and these poor, unfortunate people were driven out of their homes. It was a miserable day. And the people in that Iron Curtain country thought, well, now this will give a picture of American life which will impress the people of our country what a terrible place America is. But just the opposite was true. Because when those people were driven out of their homes, they went away in their own jalopies. And all of the people in this country who saw that picture said, well, here, everyone in America has an automobile.
Eric, all I can say to you is keep traveling, boy, keep traveling. When Rita Hayworth was Mrs. Orson Welles, his manager, Jack Lighton, became a friend of hers. He still is. And because of that, got the exclusive screen rights to photograph Ali Khan when he gets his weight in gold in India. Louis Calhoun has a doubleheader coming up next week. Hollywood premiere of his picture, The Magnificent Yankee, and King Lear on Broadway. I've just learned that Al Jolson's lifetime ambition was to sing Pagliacci at the Metropolitan. Leo McCarey's trying to lure Helen Hayes back to pictures for the story he's written titled Mother and Son, with Glenn Ford as the son. Hopalong Cassidy's Christmas flight to Germany for GIs has been cancelled. Reason given? Plane shortage. Ernest Hemingway writes from Cuba, I've been demarried by commentators so many times that I can no longer take them seriously. The latest report started when my wife visited her sick mother in Minneapolis. She's home now. There's one star here who's broken all records for setting woman's fashion. The wedgie shoes, turbans, bare midriff, the big bold costume jewelry, all were inspired by Carmen Miranda. Well, I'd heard that Carmen wasn't satisfied with breaking all records at the Michigan State Fair this fall, but now she has some exciting new travel plans. So I took myself out to visit at her nice, quiet home in Beverly Hills. So that's where you're going next, Carmen. Honolulu.
Yes, of course, in January. Now we're getting ready. Me and the Vandalua.
The who?
The boys, you know, the rhythm section.
Oh.
The noise behind the noise.
Hello, noise. Oh, I mean music. Only wait a minute. There was something different about that song. It's the Hawaiian war chant, isn't it?
Yes, but they sing it in a samba tempo, naturally.
Well, naturally. I hear you've done a little crossbreeding with a Western song, too. I'm ashamed to say I haven't heard it. Something about yippee-yay.
No, it's hipsy.
Huh?
Hipsy. Hipsy. Like the Western part of South America. Did you like to hear?
I'd love to.
Hipsy. I've been to Chicago and I like Chicago. I've been to New York and I like New York. I've been to New Hampshire and I like New Hampshire. I like punk, cheese, soap. And I've got the friends, I like folks in the bed. Ooh, ooh, the friends who are cold.
Simply wonderful. But aren't you all worn out?
Me? Oh, no, sir. No. I just get warm up.
Good. Then you won't mind singing my favorite, will you?
No.
It's the one I always think of you with. Buona la gusta.
You did very well, you know, Etta? Buona la gusta. I want to stop.
Now someone said he'd just come back from somewhere. I've spent all night that I don't even know.
She'll sing in Paris, London, and Portugal in Portuguese. The fabulous personality with a South American zing. Besides, she's the only woman in captivity who has more outrageous hats than I. Ralph Ruffle was a casualty of Flair magazine. Her story, The Half-Truth, was all set for February. The magazine folds in January. Errol Flynn is called a delinquent at the Lakeside Golf Club. He owes $114.09, which is long overdue. Like all columnists, I have a mailbag. And in it, every once in a while, I find a letter on the subject of violence. I mean the violence shown in some movies, radio, and television. How much violence is necessary? So I invited a young man here to the office who got his start playing a private eye on the radio and has since made many strong action movies for Universal International. Patsy, has Howard Duff come in yet?
Yes, he has.
Sure I am, Anna. What is all this, the Harper Chamber? Now, look, Hedda, in the first place, remember now that I'm just an actor.
Oh, but of course. So you must have some very strong opinions about these things you've appeared in. Take mysteries. Most everybody likes them, I know. But don't you think sometimes shock is used just for the sake of being shocking?
You mean like in Shakespeare's Richard III? All those murders?
Oh, I know, I know. There's plenty of classical precedent. But that's not what I meant, and you know it. It's when a writer is stuck with a weak story and tries to cover it up by using brutality or bullets. That's when people object.
Object? Incidentally, did you know that recently the Los Angeles Police Department gave NBC's Dragnet a citation for merit for helping law enforcement? Mm-hmm. But, of course, that's sociology. I'm just an actor.
Well, you said that before. Now, how about children? Some of the movies they see, the stories they hear.
Children? Yeah, it was one of those ones. Of course, I realize that all our entertainment isn't measured for a six-year-old size. Is that your complaint?
Of course not. And I grant you parents ought to use more common sense in supervising what their children see or hear.
Besides, how do we know what a kid's imagination can do to things that we think are perfectly okay for them? You know, the old traditional stuff kids are raised on. But then, I'm no psychologist. I'm an actor.
Well, you'll convince me. Go on. Give me an argument. I'm trying to bring up the points that have been written to me in letters.
Well, as an actor, it seems to me that this is all a matter of taste and degree. How a story is told, who tells it, how he tells it. Only an actor doesn't tell, he suggests.
Howard Duff, for the last time, will you forget you're an actor and give me answers to some of these questions?
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you are like a slippery L, you are. Eagle, I should say.
Well, whatever it is. My way, Hedda. Now, how's your imagination? listen, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Jack. He lived with his mother, a widow, and they were dreadfully poor. Finally, the time came when they had to sell their only cow. But poor Jack sold it for a bag of beans. And his mother wept bitterly and threw the beans out the window into the night. Then, during the night, it happened. And the next morning, when the widow opened the door, there was a beanstalk so big the whole house was in shadow. It had grown so high that no one could tell where it ended. Jack was frightened, but he had to climb that beanstalk. Higher. And higher, and higher, and higher. Well, clear up on top, Jack found a strange castle full of the good things that he and his mother needed so desperately. Feverishly, he began to stuff his pocket full of the good things that belonged to someone else when...
Yeah.
Someone was coming.
Yeah.
someone whose footsteps made the whole castle shake. Closer. And closer. Don't you want to hear the rest of it? It's right out of the book. At least you want to hear how it finally ended. Now, later on, Jack slides down the beanstalk, frantically grabs an axe, chops harder and harder. And the giant is starting to climb down, too. The beanstalk sways, trembles. You know, Hedda, I wasn't really trying to be funny with any of this. Honest, I just wanted to give people a few ideas, that's all. It's the story you pick, it's how it's done, and who does it. Period, end of report.
Huh? You've started me thinking, all right.
Good night, sweetheart.
When Ava Gardner was asked to say something about Frank Sinatra, she said, "I've said too much already." Esther Williams won't start a new picture until February, doctor's orders. The Harris Harris Jr. expects a third baby in April. Some years ago, a pretty blonde girl here in Hollywood scared me to death by taking my advice and giving up a $1,750 a week job. She quit musicals and turned dramatic and was unemployed for 1 year and a half. This girl not only became a top star herself, but a maker of stars. She's discovered Sally Forrest, Keith Purcell, and Nala Powers. Our girl is a producer, too, with Filmmakers Corporation. But that's not all. In the picture of the young lovers, she wrote, produced, and directed. This one girl, Blitz, is Ida Lupino. And the other day when I visited Ida and Keith Purcell happened to be there, I wasn't surprised to learn that she could easily have made it a grand slam by playing the lead in Young Lovers, too.
Well, it seems a little greedy, Hedda.
Don't let her kid you. She's a ham at heart.
Well, aren't we all?
Besides, Sally Forrest did such a fine job. In my new one, you know, Outbreak, I only directed it, Hedda.
Now, don't change the subject.
Do you remember the story of the Young Lovers, Hedda?
I certainly do, and I have no trouble at all thinking of Ida as the girl, as Carol.
Me, huh? Well, all right. Me playing the girl with the boy. Remember, on the beach. Guy. Oh, Guy, darling. I thought you'd never ask me. What took you so long?
Well, maybe I just wanted to be sure I could keep up with him.
Oh, I'm so happy. I don't know what to say.
Why don't you be different from other women and shut up, huh?
Yes, I was the girl, Carol, a dancer, in love with a dancer, and going to be married to happiness forever. And with Guy, dance forever.
I think that routine will work now, baby. Come on, let's try it again, huh?
Okay.
Hey, what's the matter, baby?
Nothing else. I just missed the timing, that's all.
Oh, well, take us from there, then. Come on, the other step.
Sure.
That's better.
Guy.
Huh?
I feel so sick.
Baby.
I feel so sick.
Carol!
Yes, as fast as that had happened. The two-day headache I've been trying to ignore. The tightness in the back of my neck. To me, it happened. Me. Not the strange girl you see on the posters. Or the children in distant hospitals. But me, Carol. Me.
Hello? Hello, that you, Dobie? This is Dr. Taylor. Get an ambulance over to my office right away. Trip to Los Angeles. Yes, that's right. Polio.
Polio. Infantile paralysis. That was my story. The story of thousands, perhaps. But no, I was a dancer. I was going to be married. I was different. For me, it was the shattering of a dream. Oh, I lived. Most people do. In a few weeks, I was well enough to transfer to the Cabot Kaiser Institute in Santa Monica, where they help you learn to use your arms again, or your back, or your legs. Because, yes, I was a dancer, and it was my legs. That's what happened to me. And so, sooner or later, I had to face the fact that I wasn't getting well as fast as I should. I had to face what had happened to my future. I had to face Guy. His future, too.
What is it, Carol? What's wrong?
Guy, it can't work.
What? What are you talking about, Carol? You're getting along fine. Well, only last week I...
Stop it, Guy. Stop it, will you? I don't want you to carry me upstairs the rest of your life. I don't want to be helped in and out of cars. I don't want you to turn into a nursemaid because I'm helpless. I'm glad you came tonight. You got to look into the future. You saw me being clumsy. Haven't you seen enough?
Well, don't try to make up my mind for me. I know what I want.
But you're a dancer, Guy. Be realistic.
I'll do my own thinking. There's more to life than twirling around on a dance floor. Someday maybe you'll learn that when people love each other, they don't stop loving when things go wrong.
Leave me alone, Guy.
Oh, Carol, be a woman for me. You don't know how much I need you.
I just want to be left alone.
Now, are you crazy? What's the matter with you?
I'm a trouble. What's the matter with me? But a girl can't feel sorry for herself forever. She's pretty lonely. Particularly when you're still not well. Particularly on your birthday. And I didn't realize how much I'd still been dreaming until I saw him again. Guy, well, thank you for coming. I wondered if you were. It's been so long, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I'm glad you asked me. You know, it would have seemed funny not being with you tonight. I've spent so many birthdays with you.
Maybe we could sit for a while, huh?
No.
Guy, what is it?
Well, I'm leaving for Las Vegas in an hour.
You're leaving?
Yeah. You see, I took your advice after all. I haven't found myself a new dance partner.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, she...
Is she going to be good?
Well, yeah, she's not bad. Of course, she's no Carol Williams. But then who is?
Well, I wish you both all the luck in the world, Guy. If you only have an hour, you'd better run along.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, little one. You know, I'm going to be thinking of you.
Goodbye.
Doing out here? Carol, hey.
What? Oh, Doctor. You know, it's so funny. It's taken me all this time to feel like a woman. And it's the flattest feeling I've ever known. How's that for a laugh?
What?
I cried too. Oh, I should have cried for days, but I didn't. Instead, I got mad. Mad at myself. For not knowing that life isn't made up of dreams of happiness. Made up of reality. I didn't wish for the impossible anymore. I just wished. It wasn't until I was ready to walk out of that hospital. Slowly. Unsteadily, maybe. But walked. It wasn't until then that...
Hello, honey. Well, didn't you know I'd be here? I had to miss the fight in the room. Come on, baby. Let's go.
Oh, God. God, darling.
Suppose you, like Carol, had your rug pulled out from under you. Suppose you, without warning, suffered a disaster which took away the means of a livelihood, the possibility of success, the attainment of your dreams. What would you do? Would you grit your teeth and take the long road, which might bring you out in the sunlight again? Would you be possessed of a courage strong enough to overcome your fears, doubts, your 1 in 100 chance of a comeback? Or would you roll over in your back and cry weakly, "I'm through, pity me"? No one can answer these questions but yourself. No drug or doctor can supply an individual with that extra surge of courage which means the difference between success and failure. Nor can any ideology save love of country and the will to defend it to the last man and woman save any nation in this topsy-turvy world. 9 years ago, on a December Sabbath such as this, our nation was hit by a catastrophe. The peace of the day and many lives were struck down and cast aside by the whine of planes, roar of guns, cries of the wounded and dying. I mean Pearl Harbor. We were caught flat-footed, unprepared. It took 5 long years, many battles, sacrifices, thousands of graves with little white crosses to come out of that disaster sunny side up. And today we face an even greater test. The forces of evil have again sampled the blood of our youth. They're making ready for the big kill. Have we the courage, the guts, to fight with all our might again as we did after Pearl Harbor? God grant that we have. God help us if we haven't.
Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with news of the stars that make news. There will be an argument on musical depreciation with Spike Jones, his orchestra, and the Mitchell Boys Choir, and a visit with a prominent figure on the national scene, and a dramatic highlight from the command performance picture, Mudbloods, with one of the great ladies of filmland, Irene Dunne.
Good night, everybody.
And make a date for next Sunday for Hedda Hopper's Hollywood. From the ringside seat, the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine.
The Hedda Hopper Show is an FMG production.
Dorothy McGuire and Jessica Chandy star next. It's Theater Guild on NBC.